Hey, how you doing? It's Pastor Jay. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. I pray that this word blesses your spirit, empowers you wherever you are, whether it be your home, your workplace, the gym, or even if you're riding in the car. Look, let's advance the kingdom by spreading this word with whoever you come in contact with. That is my ultimate goal, is to spread the kingdom and the message of Jesus Christ. I love you, and once again, here's today's message. Be blessed.
Amen. Amen. Well, happy Sunday to everybody. I want to say welcome to this first, second, third Sunday of April. Hallelujah. This month is going by extremely fast. You may be seated. It's going by extremely fast. We got, 10 days minus, T minus 10 days before the newest member of NBCC arrives into the world, and so we're looking forward to it. And so this message today, I'll just give you a little heads up, this message today is going to be for the next 2 weeks, because when I was studying for it and when God was giving me the revelation on it, it just kept expanding and expanding and expanding. And I just want to let you know that my outlines are usually about 5 to 6 pages, but this outline today is about 10 to 11 pages. And so God has just given me revelation on what to share with you all. And you know, we are in the series entitled, It's the Principles for Me. And I want to say welcome today to Wisdom's Masterclass. Wisdom's Masterclass. Welcome to Wisdom's Masterclass. I keep getting tongue-tied with that. It's like a tongue twister. Wisdom's Masterclass. How many of you all know what a masterclass is? How many of you all have ever heard of Oprah's masterclass? You've been in a masterclass. What is a masterclass, Pastor Jay? A masterclass is this. A masterclass is where you learn skills. You learn how to do something you've never done before. You learn some life skills. You learn some skills that help expand your mind. So that is what a masterclass is. So I want to say welcome today to Wisdom's Masterclass. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14. And we're going to start there. I'm going to read this from the New King James Version and the Passion Translation. So when you get there, say, I am healthy. Say, I am whole. I am happy, I am wealthy, I am whole. So everyone at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14, if you're not, say, wait on me. I'm not going to wait on you because it is on the screen. It's on the screen. And so this is what it says from the New King James Version. It says this. It says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. I'll read that again. It says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. I have strength. And so this is what it says in the Passion Translation. It says this, and it breaks it down some more for you. It says this. It says, you will find true success when you find me. For I have insight into wise plans that are designed just for you. I hold in my hands living understanding, courage, and strength. And strength. So that first sentence, it says, you will find true success when you find me. Now, wisdom in and of itself is a masterclass. Wisdom in and of itself is a masterclass, and I just taught you all what a masterclass is. A masterclass is where you learn how to live life skillfully, where you learn certain skills that will help you succeed in life. And so it leads me to my first key point, which is this. When we find wisdom, we will find true success. When we find wisdom, we will find true success. Now, there's a difference between the worldly success and wisdom success, because we can have a form of success, but we have no significance. And so there is a vast difference between the world's way of success, and there's a vast difference between wisdom success. Because we can be successful based on the world's definition, or we can be significant based on wisdom's definition. So how many of us really want to be successful? That's everyone in this room, right? Everyone in this room wants to be successful, but I want to help frame your perspective on how you look at success, because the world's definition of success speaks to material things. So when the world defines success, the world says, okay, well, you have this much money in the bank, then you are a millionaire. If you have this much money in the bank, you are a billionaire. If you have this much money in the bank, you are a trillionaire. So the world based success off of the material things that you accumulate. That's how the world based success. You have a nice house, you have a nice car, you have education, you have good credit, you have a lot of money in the bank. So you are successful based on the world's way of the world's perspective of success. But listen to this. Wisdom's definition of success speaks to immaterial things. It speaks to immaterial things. So what is an immaterial thing? An immaterial thing is joy, is peace, is bliss. And how do you find joy, peace, and bliss? You find that by seeking wisdom. You find that by seeking wisdom. So wisdom speaks to significance. Wisdom speaks to your significance. So wisdom doesn't speak to how much material stuff that you can accumulate. It speaks to your significance, because you can accumulate the world, but yet lose your soul. And see, a lot of people are accumulating the world, but they are losing their soul because they are not seeking wisdom. They're seeking success. They're seeking status. They're seeking, as the young people say, clout. So they're seeking these things that will not add to their immaterial life. And so significance speaks to influence. Significance speaks to influence. And so when you have influence, then you can change the world around you. See, we all have influence within us. God has placed within us influence, right? And so how we use that influence can either help people or it could either harm people. And so people are watching you. Remember, so your life can be depicted of the cross that you see behind me, right? So we have horizontal relationships, and we only have one vertical relationship with God. And so when that vertical relationship with God is in right relation, which we learned last week, then our horizontal relationships will be in right relation as well. And so, look, there are a lot of successful people in the world who are still searching to fill the void of significance. There's a lot of people that have money, they have cars, but still they feel empty inside. See, God does not want you to feel empty inside. The scripture also says in Proverbs, the blessing of the Lord, it make it rich, and he added no sorrow to it. And so sometimes people get a blessing and they have sorrow attached to it. But when you have the blessing of God, he does not want you to have sorrow attached with it. He wants you to have joy attached with it. And that joy is not just for you to experience, it's for other people to experience. So that speaks to significance. And so where is your significance found? Your significance is found in Christ. Your significance is found in Christ. Let's read Proverbs chapter 8, verse 15 through 16. Let's read this, because this scripture right here is talking about significance. It's talking about the type of success that wisdom provides, which is true success, which is significance. And so this is what it says. It says, I empower kings to reign and rulers to make laws that are just. I empower princes to rise and take dominion, and generous ones to govern the earth. And so what is this scripture saying right here? The scripture is saying that wisdom speaks to significance, because a king is significant. A ruler is significant. A prince is significant. So when we think of kings, we think of people who are in high office, right? And so since they are in high office, they have significance. And so that person that is in that high office also has influence, right? They also have influence. So the scripture's saying, wisdom is saying, look, I allow the type of success that I give is significance, and it gives you influence to do things the right way, to live the right way. See, we need to know how to live. See, we just don't need to just be here, get saved, come to church, die, go to heaven. No, we need to learn how to live. And the scripture tells us how to live. I was listening to Miles Monroe the other day, and this is what he said. He said this. He said that when you buy something, right, what's the first thing you see when you buy, like yesterday? So me and Lady Pilar bought a stroller, right? The first thing that we saw when we opened the box was what? The instructions, the manual. And so the item was manufactured at the manufacturer, right? And so the first thing we saw was the manual. And so the manual is just the manufacturer's mind, because the manufacturer knows how to work the product because they created the product. And so when I read the manual, I was able to put the stroller together so L3 won't be falling out every time we hit a bump, right? And so I had to read the manual in order to understand the manufacturer's mind of how he created the item. The same goes for your life. You have to read the manual, which is the Bible, to understand the mind of God for your life. Because when you read the mind of God, then those thoughts are placed in you, and then you can live that life that God has for you. And God wants you to live a life of significance. And what is significance? Significance is success plus, so significance is the material plus the immaterial things. So when you get the material things, they won't make you. When you lose the material things, they won't break you. And so God wants us to live from a significant place and not a successful place, because success is just for you, but significance is for everyone connected to you. And so we have to change our mind when it comes to the type of life that God wants us to live. Like, I could tell you, I can just speak from personal experience. I know there was a day in my younger years, right? I'm still young. I'm not old. Still young, right? So there was a day in my younger years where I wanted to accumulate all of this stuff. I wanted 5 helicopters, and I wanted 3 Lamborghinis. Now, I don't want 5 helicopters. Now I only want 1 helicopter, right? Just one. I've dropped it from 5 to 1, right? I don't want 3 Lamborghinis now. I just want one. I just want one, right? So what am I saying? I'm saying this, that in my younger years, I wanted these things to make my life successful. But when I got into the Word, I saw that these things won't make my life successful. Only the King will make my life significant. And so we have to understand that who we seek is what we will be. And so if I seek the things without seeking the King, then I miss out on what the King has for me. And the King has peace for me. He has joy for me. He has, see, when something happens to anything that we own, I don't be all up in the uproar like, oh, what's going to happen? Oh, no. No, what's going to happen? No, I seek the one who has already created the solution, because he already knew this day was going to come before it even came. And so we have to make sure that we are seeking the King, and not just seeking the King for his things, but seeking the King for the King. And that's what wisdom-filled life is about. It's about seeking the King. It's about seeking wisdom, because when we seek wisdom, then we have power in our life. See, a lot of us don't have power. We don't have power over anxiety. We don't have power over problems. We don't have power over depression. And I'm not saying these things don't exist when you get into the Word. I'm not saying these things don't exist, but what I am saying is this. When you study the Word, when you study the Word for yourself, when you have a relationship with Christ, then he gives you power over worldly things. He gives you power over anxiety. He gives you power over depression. But the question is, are you going to only seek him for him to give you power in a moment or for a lifetime? See, how we seek God determines the type of life we will live. So if we seek him just for the moment, God, just fix me for the moment and not for the lifetime, then we're missing out on what God can do in our lives. And so there are 4 distinct Hebrew words used in this scripture, the initial scripture that we read, that I want to dive into. And this is what we're going to dive into for the next 2 weeks. And then after that, you're going to have some dynamic speakers come in, and Pastor Jay is going to take a break, going to be on paternity leave, and making sure we get this newest member of NBCC strong and healthy. Amen. So there are four distinct words, right? And so wisdom masterclass. So let's read this. Let's read Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14 again, because I want you to kind of write down these words. I want you to highlight them in your Bible, because they're important words. They're important words. They're important words for your life. And so Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14 says this. It says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. And so the first word here is what? Counsel, right? So counsel equals, so the Hebrew word for counsel is this, it's not the Etsy you go and buy stuff from, but it's Etsa, which means advice, plans, and strategy. So the question is, does God have a specific strategy and plan for your life? Does he have a specific plan and strategy for your life? Let's see what the word says. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And it says this. It says, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. And so the plan God has for your life is the most efficient plan there is. The plan that God has for your life is the most efficient plan there is. See, while your life may, while your plan may be bulletproof, God's plan is life-proof. See, we may create a plan. Well, I got this step. I know what this step gonna be. I know what that step is gonna be. I know which way I'm gonna go when I get to this area. So while your plan may be bulletproof, see, we think we have bulletproof plans. My plan is bulletproof. I got it figured out. And then we give God the plan, like, God, make sure you make this plan happen and make it snappy. Make me happy, God. Make it snappy. Make this plan happen. And I used to be like that. I used to be like, God, here's the plan for my life. I want you to make sure that you make sure you step in when you're supposed to step in, right? So, God, I want to get married by this age. God, I want to have a baby by this age. God, I want to have this much money by this age. And God is saying, look, you got a bulletproof plan. You know every step to your plan. But my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And so when we understand that God's ways are higher than our ways and God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, while we see here on the earth, God has something better for us spiritually. And so when we connect with what God has for us spiritually, then that's when we really have power. But when we think we have the plan, we got it figured out, I know what my life is supposed to look like at each age, then that's when we miss out on what God has for us in each stage. And so, listen, when we seek God for his strategy for our life, he will reveal it to us. When you seek God for the strategy of your life, he will reveal it to you. And so a lot of us have created losing strategies, and then we point the finger at God like, God, what's up? Why my strategy just lost? We got this, and I love strategy. If anybody loves strategy, I love strategy. Like, I love plans. I love coming up with something that's going to work strategically. And I'm not saying that every strategy and every plan that you come up with is going to fail. What I'm saying is, you need to make sure that your heart is submitted to God so you can understand the right strategy and plan for your life. Because when your heart is not submitted to God, when you are not seeking wisdom, when you're not seeking advice from God, then you are not able to tap into the wisdom that God has for your life. And so, listen, our ways and God's ways are totally different. The ways that you have, the ways that God have, they on different levels. And God's saying to you, it's levels to this, right? And so God is saying, look, my ways are higher than your ways. And so it's levels to it. It's levels to the ways that God has for your life. And so listen, our ways are focused on our reality. while God's ways are focused on our heavenly purpose. And so you're here for a purpose. You're not here by accident. You are one in 500 million. Google search that and you'll get it. But you are one in 500 million. So everybody probably about to pull out their phone like, let me Google search that right now. Like one in 500 million? So just to keep it PG, you are one in 500 million. L3 is one in 500 million. You'll get it. You'll get it later. It'll hit you later. You'll be like, oh, okay, that's what he meant. So make sure you go back and listen to the podcast. Make sure you share this on Facebook. Go back and watch the message and make sure you Google, what is one in 500 million? What does that mean? And so listen, so our ways and God's ways are different. So our ways are focused on reality. What's my reality? What's happening in my circumstances? What is happening in what I can see, feel, touch, taste, smell? See, sometimes what you can see, thank you, Holy Spirit. Sometimes what you can see is not what you will be. So right now, it may seem like it's in my reality that there's only a few people here. But spiritually, God is saying, look, I'm creating the atmosphere of love. I'm creating the atmosphere of acceptance so people can walk through those doors and they won't turn around when they come through. And so what you see is not necessarily what you will be. And so we have to make sure that we're walking by faith and not by sight. We have to make sure that we are walking by the ways of God and not by our ways, because our ways will lead us down the wrong path. But when we focus on God's ways, he will lead us down the right path. And so let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. And I was going to just read one verse from this. But I got to reading the whole thing because I believe in context. I don't just believe in scripture picking. I believe in context because I want you to understand the full context of the scripture. And I don't want us to just be a church that just picks out one scripture, eisegete it, and we go home. I really want you to understand the full scope of a scripture and why it says what it says. And so God has been dealing with me on that, and I've been kind of reading some material on exegesis and eisegesis and hermeneutics and all of that good stuff, because I really want us to understand the word. I want us to understand the contextual concept that was happening in that time so that we can make sure that we apply the word the right way. See, a lot of us are not applying the word the right way because we're interpreting the word the wrong way. And so we're interpreting the word based on our own understanding. But God does not want us to interpret the word based on our own understanding. God wants us to seek wisdom when it comes to interpreting the word. And so a lot of people, and I see it today, a lot of people are Google searching, interpreting the word, and we got this whole mess on, well, the scripture says this, and the scripture says this, and the scripture don't say this, and the scripture says this. No, you need to study for yourself. You don't need to take anybody else's word for it. You don't need to be like the simple. Because what are the simple? Remember, we talked about it last week. The simple takes everybody else's word for it, and they don't do the research for themselves. So I want to encourage you to, yes, come hear me speak, because I believe that I'm giving true revelation here. But I also want you to read the word for yourself. I want you to read the word for yourself. And listen, you don't have to. And here's the deal with reading the word. I know a lot of us, we want to learn. We want to read the word more every day, right? Right? And so how do you start? You start by just reading one chapter a day. Just one. I'm not asking you to read 20 chapters a day. Give me an expository on it. Give me what the commentary said on it. Give me each and every Hebrew word. I'm not expecting you to do that. I just want you to read just one chapter a day. And guess what will happen? When you start reading that one chapter a day and you do that continuously, then you'll want to start reading more because you're like, okay. So what happens is it becomes a part of your makeup. See, they say it takes 21 days to change a habit. It takes 90 days to create a lifestyle. So if you do that for 30 days, you compound and you do it for another 30 days, and you compound and you do it for another 30 days, it will change your lifestyle. You will want to know more about the word. I'm a witness to that. And so this is what it says in Isaiah. And I think this is what we're going to do. Somebody write this down. But I think this is what we're going to do in the month of May. I think we're going to read one proverb a day. One proverb a day. Listen to this. Will keep the fool away. One proverb a day. I wish I would have kept that bottle because I know that used to be a slogan for Apple. One apple a day will keep the what? The doctor away. But one proverb a day will keep the fool away. And I'm going to talk to y'all about that after. I know I just threw that out there, but I got some ideas. Because, you know, Pastor Jay is a man of ideas, right? Y'all know that, right? NBCC, y'all know that I am a man of ideas, right? All right. All of this you see, it came from an idea. It came from an idea. And we're not finished yet, but it came from an idea. All right, let's read this. Man, my time moving. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 through 11. So this is what scripture says. It says, listen, are you thirsty for more? Come to the refreshing waters. And listen, I'm reading from the Passion Translation. It says, come to the refreshing waters and drink. Even if you have no money, come, buy, and eat. Yes, come and buy all the wine and milk you desire. It won't cost a thing. Why spend your hard-earned money on something that can't nourish you or work so hard for something that can't satisfy? So listen carefully to me, and you'll enjoy a sumptuous feast, delighting in the finest of food. Verse 3, pay attention and come closer to me and hear, that your total being may flourish. I will enter into an everlasting covenant with you, and I will show you the same faithful love that I showed David. See, I made a witness to the nations, an example of leadership as prince and commander of peoples. Look, you summon nations you've never heard of. Nations who have never heard of you will come running to follow you, because Yahweh, your God, the Holy One of Israel, has glorified you. Seek the Lord Yahweh when he makes himself approachable. Call upon him when you sense he is near. The wicked need to abandon their ways, and sinful ones need to banish every evil thought. Let them return to Yahweh, and they will experience his compassionate mercy. Yes, let them return to God, for he will lavish forgiveness upon them. For my thoughts about mercy are not like your thoughts, and my ways are different from yours. This is God talking. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so my ways and my thoughts are higher than yours. As the snow and rain that fall from heaven do not return until they have accomplished their purpose, soaking the earth and causing it to sprout with new life, providing seed to sow and bread to eat. So also will be the word that I speak. It does not return to me unfulfilled. My word performs my purpose and fulfills the mission I sent it out to accomplish. So God is saying here, look, my ways are higher than your ways. The way I think is higher than the way you think. See, you think on a reality that you see now, but I think on the spiritual purpose that I have for your life. And the words that I've spoken, they won't come back to him void. And so the words of God that he has spoken about your life is not going to come back to him void. Do you know what the richest place on the earth is? You know where the richest place on the earth is? It's the cemetery. Because the cemetery has a lot of unread books that we hadn't read. The cemetery has a lot of unsung songs that we haven't heard. The cemetery has a lot of ideas that hadn't been expressed. The cemetery has a lot of purpose that hadn't been expressed, because they have not sought wisdom. See, God wants you to seek wisdom. God wants you to seek him, because when you do, then everything that he's placed within you has to come out. So the books that are in you has to come out. The business ideas that are in you has to come out. See, God did not create you to just be an employee for 40 years. He created something within you that will cause significant change among the people in your life. And so we have to seek God while he is near. We have to seek God while he is approachable. And so that's the first Hebrew word, right? Counsel. That was a lot, huh? So counsel, let's go over it again. Counsel is the word etza, which means advice, plans, and strategy. So let's read this verse again. It says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. And so the next Hebrew word is sound wisdom, right? And the word for sound wisdom in the Hebrew is teshaya. And what does teshaya mean? Teshaya means efficient wisdom, abiding success. Efficient wisdom, abiding success. So listen, we all need efficient wisdom. In your life, you need efficiency. Because if you are working your fingers to the bone and you're toiling, and then when you get a certain age, you can't do certain things. Now, I understand that we're going to go through things in life. But we need efficient wisdom to help us live life efficiently. See, we should be living life efficiently. See, we should be doing our purpose efficiently. And so we need efficient wisdom. We need abiding success. And so listen, this leads me to my next key point, which is this. A sound mind produces sound wisdom. A sound mind produces sound wisdom. Let's see what the scripture says. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And this is what the scripture says. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. So this is what God has given us. And so God has given you that. The question is, will you tap into that potential? So in everybody's car, right, they have a speedometer, right? So on most people's car, it says 140, it says 160, it may say 200, right? And so if I say to that car, you stupid, will that affect the speedometer of the car? Right? Or if I'm driving on the road, I'm doing 50, because they say I drive slow, right? I'm driving on the road, I'm doing 50, somebody passed by me. Ezra and India passed by me doing 85, zoom, right? Is the potential of my car taken away because they passed by me going 80, 85, 90? Now, they don't drive that fast. I'm just exaggerating here, right? Ezra like, bruh, come on, really? You should see his face back there like, really? Really? So does them pushing their car to 80 limit the potential of my car at 60? It doesn't, right? And so that means that the life that you live is based on the relationship that you have with God, right? And so my significance does not let the potential for my significance does not weaken based on somebody else going faster than me. And so when I'm in my truck, somebody's in their car, if they go faster than me, that does not limit my, that does not say to my potential that I can't go fast either. That just says that I hadn't maxed out how fast I can go in my car or my truck, right? And so listen, so a sound mind, listen, can also be broken down into prudence. What is prudence? What is prudence? And so listen, check out what wisdom does when it gets with prudence. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. I'm almost finished. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. And this is what it says. It says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. What is prudence? Prudence is intelligence. Prudence is smartness. It's wittiness, right? And so it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Witty inventions. And so when we seek wisdom, we open ourselves up to the knowledge of witty inventions. Right? So when I seek wisdom, then my potential grows, right? My potential becomes a little bit more realized because I've sought wisdom, and now wisdom dwells with prudence, And when wisdom dwells with prudence, then it finds out knowledge of witty inventions. It finds out knowledge of smart things to do. It finds out knowledge of how to increase your potential. And so you probably wondering, like, why you was talking about Ezra and India's car potential, right? Because I wanted to liken it to the potential that you have. So are you seeking wisdom when it comes to your life? See, people who are moving a little bit faster, people who are using their potential, right? Using their potential, because potential can lay dormant in a lot of us, and it does, because we can be afraid. But the scripture says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, right? And so we have to make sure that when we seek wisdom, then we open ourselves up to witty inventions. And so witty inventions do not necessarily mean creating an invention. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It can also mean this. It can refer to making the right decisions that will make you become wise. So a witty invention can be, okay, Holy Spirit can say, and this has happened to me before, and no, we're going to get to that next week. I ain't even going to get there yet. So a witty invention can be a right investment. A witty invention can be a wise word said to someone at the right time that can set you up to receive something in the future. And so witty inventions is not necessarily always creating something that's going to solve a problem. It's creating, okay, let me create this square, let me create this dimensional thing that's going to solve a problem. No, witty inventions can speak to the investments that you make. The investments that you make financially, the investments that you make relationally, the investments that you make spiritually, it can speak to those things. And so listen, this is going to be my last thing, and we're going to end right here because my time has come to an end. And so listen, last thing, when we actively act out God's will for our life, we will be demonstrating sound wisdom in the process. When we actively act out God's will for our life, we will be demonstrating sound wisdom in the process. And so God wants us to demonstrate sound wisdom. But how do we demonstrate sound wisdom? We demonstrate sound wisdom by actively seeking out the will of God for our life. We do it by actively acting out the will of God for our life. And the will of God for our life is found in our relationship with Him. It's found in the Word of God. And see, if you want to see what God thinks about you, religion has created this mirage of this negative view that God has for us. But that goes against what the scripture says, because the scripture says, for God so loved the world, right? And so it goes against what religion says. Well, religion says that you are a shameful sinner, and you this and you that. And that's what religion teaches us. But relationship teaches us that there's love here. There's mercy here. There's grace here. There's forgiveness here. And so when we get into the scripture for ourselves, then we will, that mirage, see, religion sometimes can be like a mirage over our eyes. But when you get into finding out who God is through wisdom, it takes off the mirage, and you start to see people with the eyes of love. You start to treat people with love, and mostly you start to seek wisdom for your life. See, I'm in a stage now where I'm seeking wisdom for my life, because I not only understand that I have my beautiful wife, my beautiful bride, but we also have a beautiful son. I also have you all that are connected to me. And so I want to make sure that we are living a wisdom-filled life. See, so this wisdom thing, let's break it down. And I want you to go back and read, well, we'll read it in May, but go back and read Proverbs 8, because it talks about how wisdom was in the beginning. Before the foundation of the earth, wisdom was there, right? And so right under what we read today, you'll see that. It says wisdom was there in the beginning. But Solomon, God came to Solomon in a dream one day, and it was like, Solomon, what do you want? Solomon was like, God, I need wisdom on how to rightly rule your people. God said this. He said, well, since you didn't ask for fame, since you didn't ask for fortune, I'm going to give you wisdom, but I'm also going to give you fame and fortune as well, right? I'm going to give you influence as well, where people come to you to seek out your influence, to seek out your wisdom, seek out your significance. See, I want us to make sure that daily when we pray that we ask God for wisdom, because when we ask God for wisdom, then it will cause us to live a life of influence. See, that's why you're here. You're here to live a life of influence. You want your life to be such an influence that it influences generations to come. Not just influence the people who are in your generation, but influence generations to come. See, General, my dad, Lester Bell Sr., he was a man who sought wisdom, right? And it affected his generation, but it not only affected his generation, it affected my generation. And guess what? His wisdom is going to affect the generations to come. He's going to affect L3's generation. The wisdom that God has given me is going to affect L3's kids' generation to come. And so God wants us to live a life of influence. Let's pray. God, we thank you that from this moment forward that we will live a life of influence. We thank you, Lord God, for counsel. We thank you, Lord God, for sound wisdom. We thank you, Lord God, for efficient wisdom. We thank you, Lord God, for strategy for our life. We thank you for the plan that you have for our life. So, God, from this day forward, we pray, Lord God, that we will seek wisdom like never before. Lord God, we will read a proverb a day, Lord God, so that we can understand what your word says about who you are. And so, God, I pray that you bless each and every person under the sound of my voice, Lord God, who is in the building, Lord God, or who may be watching this, Lord God. And so, God, we thank you that as we continue along in this service, Lord God, that you will cause your people's heart to be open, Lord God, to receive what you have for them. So, God, we love you and we thank you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.